What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Law from the Art of Storytelling Tales by Law, and welcome back to another episode of What's Your Story. This week we are featuring my cousin David, and man, is his an incredible story. I could not wait to share it with you guys. It's a story of timing, it's a story of just love and being open to new possibilities. He's funny, he's quick-witted, he's smart, and he's just so full of love. Here's his story. All right, we are live.
Yo, yo, yo.
Should you introduce yourself as Crack from the Block?
I think it'd be apropos.
What's going on, everybody? It's your boy Law from the Art of Storytelling, Tales by Law, and welcome to another car interview. It's my second time, like, this is a week of seconds. So my first couple that I recorded for this season was Jesse and Ivy. My second couple, I just recorded with them yesterday. You guys will listen to them later on after this one. Or I don't know, I might throw a mix and do both of them.
You never know. You never know.
You know. But my first car interview was with Hutch driving back from a wedding that we shot back in October.
Shout out to Hutch.
He was the season one finale. And now I have my cousin Dave, aka Croc from the Block. If you guys are early We the Geek Ronin fans, you guys know this voice very well.
Mm-hmm. That gator who acts like Vader.
All right, so how do you have the, as Dennis would put it, the great misfortune of knowing me?
Well, it really wasn't my choice. We're blood related, so, you know, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your family. But I'm glad that we have a bond, you know, and we can get together almost any time and just have lots of fun, whether it's doing nothing or going to the casino, going to the water park, you know. Doing chores, whatever, you know, it's always a pleasure.
Same here. It's been a nice 31 years of knowing you, okay? 31 years of fun cousin stuff. I have to say, like, I had probably some of the best cousins ever, and you rank very high on that list.
Oh yeah?
Absolutely.
I'm used to riding the bench. I didn't know I was playing.
Listen, always. Listen, man, especially in, like, as we were adults, like, you've been, like, my, like, right-hand guy for the most part, getting me, to where I am now, so I'm super appreciative of that.
Listen, man. You did it all yourself. I was just there to support you.
Listen, I am nothing without my support.
That's true.
So, gave you a little backstory of, like, what this, whole What's Your Story is about.
Yeah.
So, do you want to take it from the beginning? Do you want to go back from where you are now and kind of look back? You know, I'm going to let you kind of circumnavigate this.
Okay. So, are you telling the audience that I'm about to tell a severely long story about the dawn of man?
I mean, you're not your father, but you are your father.
Man, my father is awesome. He has the ability to turn a topic into a discussion that lasts for a long time, and I very much appreciate it. He's a very smart man and
love
very
him. Well. Shout out to Uncle Gary.
Well versed, yes. He's very worldly. I guess if I was to start with anything, I'd just say that, you know, my story is about timing. You know, bad things happen, good things happen, but as we discussed earlier, I mean, like, you know, I wouldn't be who I am today, much like everybody else who's listening, if it wasn't for the events that happened. But in my case, whether bad or good, timing has been prevalent in my storyline.
I feel like that's a running theme in a lot of the stories that have been told on the podcast,
yeah.
And I think that's gonna just stay throughout.
Yeah. And I, you know, I don't know if it's a universe thing, it's a God thing, I don't know if it's fate, but it certainly proves the point that everything happens for a reason, in my case. And it's hard to say that because some people just, like, shitty things happen to them and there's no real payoff at the end. So I'm sorry to people, you know, to say that good things happen for a reason, but it only is applicable to me at this point, you know, as far as my story. So, like, there was this one time. It's my favorite story, honestly.
So it's not a Bandcamp story?
It's not a Bandcamp story. It's a college story.
Okay, close enough.
Close enough. There's no flutes involved or insertion, but
feel free to get colorful. Like, it's funny that I've tried to keep this as, like,
PG
as I can.
Oh, you're not getting that with me.
But I throw the explicit rating. I think the last few episodes kind of got by off of, like, me putting it up there.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm very, like, we talked about it with Hutch, where, like, I cursed in the episode with him, and I said, sorry, Mom.
Oops.
And he was like, but why? So, he of course, Hutch is another person that can take something and run with it,
sure,
as a story and give it, like, a meaningful, you know, narrative to it.
Listen, Hutch can talk about the McDonald's dollar menu and turn it into a motivational story. You know, and
it's a hero's journey.
It's a hero's journey, and it's beautiful. Like,
absolutely.
He has the ability to do that, which is so, it's funny and it's great at the same time.
Absolutely.
He's like, you know, something about McChickens has changed your life. And I'm like, you know what? I never thought about McChickens that way.
All right, so what is this college story?
Oh, the college story. All right, let me give you a little background in this severely long story. I promise it's not severe. It's not bad. So out of high school, you know, I was terrible. I paid attention, but I didn't do homework. So I barely got by and went to the community college right next door. So, like, my high school is called Cardozo, and then right across the street was Queensboro, but we always called it Cardozo North, because all the people that I used to slack with were there, because they just had to go to college. You know, like that feeling where, like, all right, what are you going to do with your life? You going to work or are you going to college? And they're like, oh, I'm kind of used to doing school, so.
Might as well.
I don't want to venture off on my own and have responsibilities.
Did most of your friends end up going too, so it was kind of like an easy transition?
Yeah, it was so easy. But, you know, it was supposed to be easy because, you know, you go to a community college, there's not much more you can do other than showing up in homework to get an A. So,
BCC was like that for me.
Yeah.
Because BCC was, like, down the block from my house.
Okay.
And a couple of my guy buddies from, like, Hayes, which was all boys school, went there. And I remember a professor looked at us and was like, what are you Hayes boys doing here? And we're like, what do you mean? She's like, you realize you guys should be, like, at four-year, like, big league kind of schools. Like, you guys have no business being here.
Right.
And she said it so frankly that I was, like, offended and, like, reaffirmed, like, what I already kind of knew.
Yeah.
And I was just like, thanks, but damn.
Hayes is a tough school.
It is.
So I went to Cardozo North. And I got academically dismissed.
The North remembers.
I got academically dismissed, not once, not twice, but three times they kicked me out of college.
Third time's the charm.
It seemed to be. Because they didn't want my shit anymore. They were like, you're not showing up, you're not paying attention, your grades are terrible. So I went into the work world, saw the glass ceiling, and decided to give school a second shot. So I did my best and I got on the dean's. I went back to the same community college. I got on the dean's list several years. Turned it to 1.54.
What was the gap in between?
So that was the work world. That was just like customer service doing.
No, I'm saying, like, what was the gap? Like, how many years? Because, like, I went to school right after high school. Did I guess you would call it 2 years? It was 1.5 years at one school, a semester at another, and I took a 7-year hiatus before I went back.
Yeah, about the same.
Okay.
About the same. So I get a couple years on the dean list. I took 1.54 GPA, turned it into 3.05, then I got into Baruch, which is, like, the greatest community business school in the city.
Talk about, like, putting it on the table. What's good?
Yeah. I really paid attention and was diligent. I didn't want to see that glass ceiling again. So I took my time and was determined.
Can you explain glass ceiling to me? I feel like I've heard the term before, but I don't think I use it enough to know what it truly is.
All right. So let's say you want to go for a manager or a director position, the qualifications in order to interview for the position at most times is you need a degree.
Right.
So you can be, you know, amazing in what you do, but if you don't have that piece of paper, you're not going to be considered as highly as somebody who does have that piece of paper.
Gotcha.
So that's sort of the glass ceiling in my perspective, okay, in my situation. So I get into Baruch, and it's just like this, like, it's an amazing time for me. So my story starts where it's like, I get a acceptance letter from Baruch once I'm in there saying that I got into the business school. So, you know, I got in the business school within the school. So they wanted to see me at orientation. So it's the summer, and I decide to go to school about 4 hours early. Why do I do this? And I'm sure you can understand. I had to go to financial aid.
Yes.
Financial aid, for everybody who doesn't know, outside the CUNY system, inside the CUNY system, is, it's like the DMV of the college experience. It's honestly, yo, the worst.
I was actually thinking about that. I was like, that's the perfect way to describe it. Yeah. Absolutely.
So I get there 4 hours early. I'm online trying to get some paperwork done, and I'm like, shit. I need some paperwork to fill out, and I don't have a pen. So I asked the people in front of me, they're like, do you have a pen? They're like, no. And then I was like, all right, cool. So I'll skip the line, and I'll ask the secretary. So I skip the line, I go up to the secretary, and I say, excuse me, miss, may I borrow a pen? And she's like, well, if I'm going to give you a pen, you got to make sure to bring it back, because I'm not going to be here without a pen. There's a pen shortage, and I'm just not going to have it. And she just throws a pen in my general direction, like flings it at me.
Okay.
I was like, you know, like,
so I was having a bit of a day.
Yeah. And, you know, there's ways you can react to that. And there's like, what the fuck? Like, you don't have to be a bitch about it. But I was like, you know what? You don't want to piss off the gatekeeper. So here's another, here's another, you know, circumstance where I would like to describe what a gatekeeper is, which is essentially someone who is the intermediary between you and who you want to see. So if you piss off the gatekeeper, you're going to be waiting a lot longer than other people who are neutral in their eyes.
Right.
And so, I chose not to react. I just said, thank you, miss. I'll make sure to bring back your pen safe and sound. Even though I want to be like, I don't know about your fucking pen. I'll go to the store and get it myself.
Right.
But, you know, whatever. So in the interest of time, I was like, yeah, thank you. So I fill out my paperwork, and I bring it to the office once I get in, and they're telling me I have to print something out. So I go to the computer lab. Now, I'm not enrolled in summer classes, so I don't have printing credits. So I'm trying to print this thing out, and it's not working. So I asked one of the guys that works there. He's wearing a yellow vest, so I call him a yellow jacket. And I was like, you know, I don't have the... He's like, oh, you don't have printing credits. And I said, well, where do I get printing credits? He says, well, I'll take you over to the printing credit machine. Walk over to the printing credit machine, and he sees me about to put $20 in there. He's like, no, don't do that. And I was like, why? I need printing credits. He's like, if you put in $20, you get back $20 of non-refundable printing credits. And I was like, whoa, thank you for saving me. I almost, you know, overpaid $19.70 for a 30-cent copy that I needed.
Right.
So I'm like, do you have change for a 20? He's like, no. And I was like, do you know anybody who does? And he's like, we can go around and ask. So we spent about 5 minutes asking people in the computer lab, and nobody had change. So I was like, no, don't worry about it. I'll go downstairs. I'll smoke a cigarette. This is when I was smoking cigarettes. And I'll get a lemonade. It's a hot day. You know, I'll be all right. I'll be back. So I'm smoking my cigarette after getting the lemonade and breaking my 20. And I'm like, shit, I need fresh breath. So I go into the college bookstore, and right next to the register, after I pick out my gum, is a pack of 10 pens for $1.98. So I was like, you know what? Bought. So I buy my pens. I go back to the printing laboratory. I print out my stuff. I get my copy. I put in a dollar. I got 70 cents left on my printing credits. I go back to the yellow jacket, and I'm like, here, you could use this. Maybe someone can benefit from you having this. I don't know. Maybe get a number out of it. I don't know. Whatever you want to do with it, it's yours. So he's like, and I'm not sure if he said this, but he's like, either I'm going to use this to get bitches, or I'm going to use this to get digits. And so it didn't warrant a response. So I chucked up the deuces and I left.
Okay.
I go back to financial aid office. I cut in front of everybody, and I drop the pen on the table, like on her, on the secretary's table. Splat! It makes a sound. Everybody looks. And then she looks at me, she looks at the pen, she looks back at me, she looks at the pen, she goes, I am so sorry I treated you the way I did. You know, it's just been crazy here, and everybody's not bringing pens back, and, you know, I'm here, and, you know, I'm the only one. I'm so sorry.
She was having a day.
She was having a day, and I understand that. So, you know, I took a negative, turned it into a positive. Now I have a friend, and anytime I go back, she's like, she's super cool with me. Anyway, so I finish up my paperwork and I get to orientation just in time. That 4-hour window was perfect. So I fill out my name, I fill out a raffle ticket, I sit down. Oh, I take off my hat, I'm sorry. And I sit down and they're calling out raffles. So first place goes, second place goes, and then you know what? I'm called for third place. I won the third place raffle ticket. So I'm like, oh my God. So I go up to the front, and the woman that's running the orientation says, you can use this prize, whatever you want, but we have two prizes. You can either choose a book or an umbrella. And I was like, I thought about it for maybe a half a second. I was like, no, I'm not going to pick up an umbrella over a book in the front of the dean of the business school.
Right.
So I took the book, and I was like, but what's the name of the book? And she's like, Why Good Things Happen to Good People. And I was like,
wow.
Yeah, I could have stood on my soapbox and been like, you know, you got to be nice to people and you got to give back when they help you. And no, you got
that, but you had a theme of the day.
I had the theme of the day. I didn't stand on my soapbox. I didn't say anything. I just said thank you. I went back to my seat and I was grateful for the whole situation. And honestly, that quote, why good things happen to good people, has been told to me multiple times in my childhood by my father. So, you know, it was just a testament to the way I live my life and sort of karma giving me back what I gave the universe that day. Mm-hmm. So it was literally all about timing and just being grateful and being proactive and doing things in the right way.
That's amazing. What a way to kick off story time. Like, dude. And I feel like you have, like, such cool stories. I mean, this is why I wanted you to be a part of the episode and the show. It's because you do have a lot of those stories. Like, mm-hmm. you know, chance encounters, yep. once in a lifetime, like, random occurrences. Yeah. And it's because of who you are as a person, your character, that it's even possible.
Aww.
You know, you're a genuine, big-hearted guy. Aww. Quick-witted to boot, like, you're just, you know, you're definitely your grandmother's, like, grandson. Like, you know what I mean? That, absolutely.
Providencia?
Oh, yes.
Oh, man. You know what they used to call her?
What?
Here Comes Trouble. I'm serious. Everybody in that senior center.
I vaguely remember you telling me that. Yes.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Here Comes Trouble. She was a feisty woman with a quick wit.
Oh, yeah.
And a great heart. Great
absolutely. Heart. Do you remember, like, us, like, going over her egg rolls?
Oh, yeah.
Like, listen.
Oh, yeah.
That was, like, a family staple.
Puerto Rican egg rolls?
Puerto Rican egg rolls? Yo.
What you know about that?
What you know. And it was, like, it was such a big thing. Like, everyone has, like, the winter time coquito, patadillos, but we're like, yo, Titi Provi? Like, we need those egg rolls.
We need those egg rolls. Yep.
And she would make them, and, like, it was so sad when she passed that, like, it was, like, a sad, but for me, it was also funny because we're like, who's going to make these egg rolls now?
And you know what? About a year before she passed, she taught me and Lisa how to make them.
That's dope.
So I'll hook you up one day, I promise.
Ooh, I can't wait. Oh, man.
I got to get the skins from Chinatown, though.
Yeah, man.
Really funny story that I just remembered the other day.
Okay.
I go to see Jackie Robinson, the movie, 42.
Uh-huh.
In, right near BAM, the Brooklyn Museum.
Okay.
And I'm with a friend of mine, and we, the great movie, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And we leave, that's Chadwick Boseman playing, like, every black American figure.
Right.
In history. But it was a great movie, and we leave, And again, I'm smoking cigarettes. And who comes out the theater but Jeremy Irons?
What?
He comes out the theater and he makes eye contact with me, sees that I'm smoking a cigarette, comes right up to me. I'm like fanboying like crazy in my mind.
Yo!
And he's like, do you have a light? And I was like, yeah. And I didn't hand him the light. I wanted to light his cigarette because I wanted to help kill the man who killed Mufasa.
Yo! So, isn't that so funny? Like, as kids and as adults now, we hold certain characters or certain actors to iconic roles so much that they could play 50 million. Yes. Gary Oldman can play so many characters.
Yes.
But for, like, specific people, like for me, he's always my Jim Gordon now.
Absolutely.
Like, he set that staple.
Yeah.
Like, who... Oh, man.
And to your point, like, we hold him in such high regard as that character that... Like, for me, when Gary Oldman speaks, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Right,
because
right.
he's got that... What is it, British? Is it a British accent?
Yeah, well, he's from, like, the UK. He has, like, but it's a specific, like, accent. But he's spoken about it in interviews. He's gone so long with doing other, like, accents and roles and, you know, different characters that he lost his original accent. So he had to get... retaught his original accent.
Oh man,
it was so great. He was like I went home and no one recognized how I spoke.
Wow.
And he was like, this is how I speak now. And they're like, no, you're still in your role.
Wow.
It was such a crazy
thing. Isn't that crazy though? Like, you know, you get so, like, actors get so engulfed in their
absolutely
in their character that they just forget who they are. Like, mm-hmm. you know, just speaking of Batman, like Heath Ledger.
Yeah.
Totally forgot who he was. Much like every other Joker except Jack Nicholson. Because Jack Nicholson is always the Joker
24/7. Right. But, yeah. Oh, man. That's so...
I helped kill the guy who killed Mufasa.
Now you have to... Who's doing it for the new live action? Who's doing Scar?
That's an interesting...
Because I know Mufasa's still... shout out to...
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones.
Yeah. And then... Childish Gambino is...
It's Simba. The older Simba, though.
Right.
Yeah, we gotta look that up.
I was so shocked that they casted Eric Andre as one of the hyenas. I mean, it makes sense.
Right.
But to have him there, just... It's like, oh, man, that's a win for, like, the alternative humor, you know, crowd.
Timon and Pumbaa are...
Billy Eichner?
Billy Eichner and Jake Johnson, I think, is Timon, I think.
Wow.
If I'm not mistaken. I know. I feel like he's one of those characters. But I know this guy, Eichner. Yeah. Oh,
but,
man.
But we digress. Like, you know, obviously...
That's all we do in this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's how good stories are told.
But I want to turn it around on you. Has there been a story or a point in your life where timing has sort of just somehow worked... It, like, in Beyond, sort of?
Yeah, so, and I told it on the past episode that I just recorded, but, like, the timing of me meeting Hutch or, I'll think of another story, but the story with Hutch is so, like, prominent, because it's such a, like, had anything altered, none of this would have happened.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whoa, all right.
I mean, and I don't mean to hash up old, you know, things, but, like, when you broke up with your high school girlfriend, that was a rough year for you.
Yeah.
And had you not had the support, like you said, I mean, I don't think you'd be where you are today.
Yeah, like, a lot of things, like, needed to happen to be, like, where I am now. Like... And I can think of, like, little things where, like, you know, all right, here's a good, like, timing is everything kind of thing. And it isn't. So, the Bacon and Beer Classic. Do you remember the Bacon and Beer Classic?
Oh, how could I forget?
We went to the first Bacon and Beer. Was a very interesting night for me because one of my old, like, buddies from growing up, who we had, like, lost touch, you know, he was... doing his thing, I was doing my thing, and we just weren't on the same page anymore, hit me up and goes, bro, like, what are you doing today? and I was with my also then friend, best friend Jason, and I'm like, yo, I'm going with Jason to the movies. Like, what's up? How you been? Da, da, da. He was like, well, I have a new job. I got a girl. We're engaged now, and we have a baby on the way. I was like, oh, snap, congrats. It sounds like, you know, you got your things together. You know, everything's working out. Cool. He was like, I want you guys to come over. I want you guys to meet her. She really heard about you guys and was like, why are they not a part of your life anymore? They're such big instruments of, you know, your life.
Right.
You know, like, why not? I want them to be in my daughter's life, the whole shebang.
Yeah.
Super sweetheart. Great night. That kind of got sour towards the end. Long story long, you know.
Long story long, I haven't heard that one.
Long story long, me and him kind of get into an argument about certain things that came up, and like, and I was just like, yo, you're still the same guy, and this is why we weren't friends, because you haven't grown up yet. You have a kid on the way. You can't still do the stuff we did in high school and in college and still expect to, like, be cool. Like, we're, I think at the time I was like maybe 26.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, so he was definitely, you outgrew him.
Yeah. I was like, we're too old for that. Yeah. You know? So, I remember, and for most of you who know me, I'm not a very, like, I use my hands to resolve things person. Very few people on this planet have seen me truly upset where I once, like, put, like, physical harm to them. However, in this case, I left so mad. I was like, me and him are going to end up fighting. Like, so I left. And I was like, let me not ruin an already, like, getting bad night by, like, doing something dumb.
Yeah.
So I leave. I remember Jesse called me. And I remember, like, my buddy Dennis, both have been guests on the podcast. And they go, yo, how was everything, you know, over there? And I just kind of, like, was like, dude, da, 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 da. And they're like, whoa, Dennis calls. Dennis usually has a good way of asking, like, how I'm doing when, like, he just feels like something's off of me. And I didn't tell him, like, I was in a bad mood. He just always knows when my bat signal, as he calls it, is, like, on. He's like, yo, I need somebody.
He's got the spidey senses.
Of course. So he was like, yo, don't worry, I'll come over. He came over there with, like, food and beer. I was smoking Black and Milds at the time, so he gave me a Black and Mild, and I was calming down. At the time, Dennis is my Muay Thai instructor. Him and Jason, I'm like, almost wanted to physically move out of the way so I could go back and, like, throw hands. Like, wow. That's how upset I was. Go to sleep. I'm wildly drunk at this point. Wake up just in time for the Bacon and Beer Classic. Right? I go and I have my Robin Hood costume in my bag because I was gonna do like a party afterwards, a cosplay party. And I remember as soon as I got there, as soon as I walked through, I saw my cuz, he goes, hey, bacon and cheeseburger, whatever the case is. And I was like, yes, give me food, because I'm so hungover from the night before. But it was just one of those things where, like, had Dennis not called at the right time, I would have went over there. Had I not had the two people there to keep me in the house, keep me calm, and then, like, you hit me up in the morning when I woke up and go, I'll see you at the Bacon and Beer Classic, like, little things like that, you know, I think are those stories of, like, timing, you know?
And we had a hell of a time.
Oh, that was...
How many were with us? There was, like, 10 of us, right?
It was at least a good handful, because you figure...
It was Jerry, Megan, Samantha, Mike, you, the other Mike, me, and somebody else.
I want to say there's at least 8 of us.
Yeah.
Bare minimum.
Oh, Diana, Mike's ex-girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm. About right.
Yeah, it was a nice little squad. It was so much fun, man. Like, to put it into context, it's at Citi Field. And it's on the mezzanine, like, plaza, whatever the case is.
Concourse.
The concourse. That's what it's called. We had people on one side, and we had people on the other side. And each booth had a booth right next to it. So it would be, like, two people set up in their booth right next to each other on either side of you.
Yeah.
And we couldn't make it a whole lap around. I think we made it maybe 2/3 of the way before we were like, bro, I can't drink anymore.
I can't eat anymore. I'm tired of walking.
Dude, it was a lot, but it was such a great experience.
Oh, we had like a life hack there. Like, we would go, there'd be two of us on each line.
Yeah.
Because the line for the food or the line for the beer.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun. And I thought it was going to be rowdy because, you know, when you say bacon and beer, that just excites a lot of people.
Right.
But it was really, like, chill. Everybody was having such a good time. And then you'd hear, like, from the distance, you hear, oh! And, you know, we're from New York, so we think, oh, that's going to be a fight or something.
Someone broke their ceramic cup. To give it context, you get a ceramic. It's a little bigger than a shot glass, like, you know, worth of, it's a, like a beautiful, it looks like a solo cup,
Yeah.
you know, but it's beautiful ceramic. I still have mine somewhere in my house.
Yeah,
and like, it's so funny because like when you break it, you can get another one, but you have to go all the way downstairs.
All the way back.
And then you have to like start all over, not start all over again, but you have to go all the way down, ask for another one.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that walk of shame you do.
Yeah.
And so everyone like when you hear it, it's a loud shh,
yeah,
and you're just like, oh,
and everybody around you is, oh.
So it was fun, man. Oh, but you know, another thing that I would say is about timing. That year, like, you were so instrumental in like helping me like get through a lot of what I was going through, because the timing of that year was, I had just you know, split with my like ex of 4.5 years. Then maybe like a month or so passed. No, let me see. I broke up in March. In May, right like after Mother's Day, my uncle passed away. Then that whole year, or the next few months, like I think that was the summer I first went up to for Memorial Day, and you were like, yo, let's go up to the casino, let's do this. And I was just, I didn't want to be bothered with doing anything. I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't want to hang out. And you were just like, yo, let's go out, let's do this. Yo, let's go out, let's go do this. Yo, there's a con out in Connecticut, you want to go? And that's one of those timing things where, like, had you especially not been there, I would have just sat in my funk for, like, forever.
Yeah, and I mean, I wish I could say I did it because you were in a funk, but I didn't know. You know, I didn't
know. I didn't know that you didn't know until I told you maybe, like, a year or two afterwards.
Yeah.
And the look of like shock, I honestly had no idea that you didn't know.
Yeah.
And I was even more grateful, you know, because you weren't doing it like,
yeah, I just wanted to hang out.
Or hang out with my cuz, you know? And, you know, very grateful to this guy.
Timing is of the essence.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
But like right now, if I say timing is of the essence, I truly do mean it
because we're sitting in traffic.
We're sitting in traffic. And, you know, not only that, but I reflect on what's happening now in my life where it's like I had no job. I broke up with my girlfriend. I was still living with a roommate. You know, I have a degree from a college that I can't do anything with. And then all of a sudden, everything happens.
Is that a really, like, I've been asking a lot of, like, my college grad friends, like, is it really, like, Larice graduated from college, it took forever to get her job, took you, like, a decent amount of time as well.
2 years.
Like, that seems about, like, right for the turnaround time, and it's like, why?
Why? Because school is bullshit. School is an institution you go to that you have to pay into to be recognized as a success in your early years as a child. Essentially, what school teaches you is to follow orders and be judged based on your teacher's perspective. So, from what I've heard, school is essentially made for the industrial era where there was a lot of manual labor. And now that all of that manual labor has been decreased because of technology, people now have the ability to use their mind more than they use their hands. So instead of following orders, instead of, you know, staying in the box, what it takes for you to succeed is things they don't teach you in school, you know? So having that degree, yeah, it's awesome. It gets you in the, you know, into the interview. But if you don't have soft skills that you picked up in other parts of your life, which you have to pick up to get a job.
Do you have regrets at all for school? Or
do I have regrets? No. No, I don't. Because I'm one of those few people that actually enjoyed doing well in school and going to school because I didn't value it in my earlier years.
Mm-hmm.
And now, not only was I older and wiser, but I appreciated it more. Okay. If that makes any sense.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, I had a degree, couldn't find a job. I had a degree in marketing. What do you need for a job in marketing? Experience.
The only way you can get experience is by
getting a job. It's a catch-22.
Absolutely.
It's so ironic that you need experience for a job that is an entry-level position. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Which is crazy because I feel like you spend a lot of money and time and effort on a degree
right.
that essentially becomes a nice piece of paper to show, like right. you said, like that I did something.
Yeah.
But they're looking at it like, yeah, that's cool. Here's an entry-level job.
Right.
Or, you know, oh, that's cool, but we're going to give it to somebody else
right.
who knows a guy.
Right. Or, absolutely.
You know, and we're in that, like, kind of day and age where experience almost weighs or carries as much as a, carries as much as the degree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, there are big companies like Google and Facebook that are hiring people, and I think Amazon too, that are hiring people based on experience and don't care if they have that paper.
Mm.
Which is a new day we're in, you know, where, you know, the internet is the place where you can essentially go to college. You know, all the world's information is at your fingertips. So what do I need some, you know, 50, 60-year-old telling me about the world when I can look it up and get multiple perspectives?
Right.
So, yeah, but, you know, I digress again. We digress, but right. that's the theme. That should be the theme.
That should be the theme?
But I digress.
That's the theme of our family.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially during goodbyes.
Ooh, a Puerto Rican goodbye is so... Like, you have... If you're not Puerto Rican and you've never seen a Puerto Rican goodbye, I usually tell my friends, I'm like, listen, if you're trying to get out the house, let's say we're trying to get the house by 7, start saying your goodbyes like 6, 6:15, because you're going to get caught up in conversation, trying to make plans to see you guys again,
yeah.
and oh, it was so good to see you.
Yeah.
And then you also realize that Puerto Ricans have really big family, so it's saying goodbye to 40 people.
Yeah.
And it's if like you, that. God forbid, that you don't say bye to the one person.
Right.
You know, forget about it.
Exactly. And it's like infomercials. Like, you know, you think you're done, and they're like, and
but
one
wait.
More. But wait, there's more.
Absolutely. So you're saying, you know,
timing
is everything. You figure you didn't have your job, and
I didn't have an apartment that was mine. I didn't have.
So what took place? We're kind of doing a life story, not life story, but you have a unique story about graduation,
yeah.
and then take me from graduation to, like, how things transition to where you are now.
I was with my wife now for 3 years at that time. Before we broke up, I didn't have a job. I had a job, but I didn't have a steady payment job. I wanted to have a kid with my wife. I wanted to get married. I wanted to move in together. We had this whole big plan. And you want to make God laugh, make a plan.
That is the saying.
So,
absolutely.
Like, you know, we broke up. We got back together. And when we found out that my wife was pregnant, not only did it bring us together, but slowly things started to happen. So I got into a program that teaches digital analytics, which I had to interview 3 times for. I got into, I, we started, you know, finding places to live. I got the job. I got married. We had a baby shower. Most recently, we found a place together in my sister's building, on my sister's floor, 10 minutes away from my wife's parents. And it just, everything just snowballed uphill, you know? And it was the weirdest thing ever. Like I said, make a plan, gotta laugh, because everything just happens at its own time frame. And honestly, if it didn't happen the way it did, I wouldn't be with my wife. I probably wouldn't have a job right now. Mm-hmm. I probably would still be living in a shitty neighborhood. Sorry, Mom. I would still... Not Mom, because she's in a shitty neighborhood. It's just...
We know.
Yeah, yeah.
We're good.
You know, I wouldn't be married. I wouldn't have the support that I have now. Everything just happened, and I am so grateful to be stressed, if that makes any sense. Because obviously, when
these
you talk
are,
about...
These are good stresses to have.
Yeah. It's I don't know if it's called eustress.
Yeah.
It is? Yeah, yeah, okay. So it's like, you know, every day I wake up with about 30 different thoughts, and it's just amazing. It's amazing. And, you know, I knew that there was going to be something bad that happens right after all the good happens, and something bad did happen. My grandmother just passed. I'm sorry. This is the first time you heard this. Yeah, on my father's side.
Wow.
But get this about timing, right?
Okay.
So my father lives in Florida, right? He's coming up to sell his house.
Mm-hmm.
He makes his visit to his mother to see her. The day after she passes, after he just saw her. Now,
wow.
In the Jewish religion, when somebody dies, you put them in the grave the next day. The very next day. So if he wasn't here, he would have, A, not being able to be at the funeral, or B, had to spend exorbitant amounts on a flight to see his mother, you know, put in a grave.
That's wild. Talk about, yeah. That's
amazing.
Crazy.
Amazing.
Actually, that I do have a good like coincidence family thing. My whole trip to Florida was one of those things.
Yeah.
Because my cousin, so I was supposed to go on a cruise in May. Right around now.
5 minutes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. You cut that out.
So I was gonna go on a cruise in May with my cousin, who I haven't seen since I was like maybe 24, her sister who I haven't seen since I was maybe 16, 17, it's because they moved to Florida and whatnot. Long story long, we all weren't able to go for whatever reasons, we canceled the trip, and we're like, all right, you know, whatever. One of my friends is a teacher with a school like in the Bronx. And she was like, hey, so I'm getting spring break this week, or like coming up, and I'm driving down to Florida. Are
yeah.
you down?
Right.
And I was like, you know I don't drive, right? And she was like, let's disclaimer that. Working on it, people, working on it. Promise. So she was like, yeah, no worries. Like, I can even drop you off wherever.
Right.
I was like, okay. So I hit up my cousins, and they were like, yeah, like, I'm moving back from Carolinas like to Orlando. I'm actually gonna be living with Jay, which is my other cousin. So I was like, oh snap, you guys are both living together and I can go down and see you guys and spend like some time with you guys. Dope. Then so I made that happen. So we're driving down. I told my cousins that I was going, I was gonna stay a few days there, then stay a few days with my aunt and uncle who also live on the other side of Orlando. My uncle is always traveling, but for some reason, he just happened to be there that week.
Yeah.
Like, it was one of those things where he was traveling like the very next week.
Okay.
After I got down. So, you know, all this is kind of working out to my favor. Coming down, she said this was, like, the longest stretch of drive that she's done. She got, like, we got all the way down to, like, North Carolina before we, like, really took a break for, like, dinner and, like, to rest and kind of thing.
Yeah.
So wouldn't you know it, we're in Cracker Barrel, and I hit up my cousin. I was like, yo, cuz, how far are you from this Cracker Barrel in North Carolina? She was like, I'm an hour west.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, no way. So I was like, yo, do you want to take a rest at my cousin's house? And, like, I can just catch up and see the kids, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
She was like, yeah. So this is my cousin whose mom I was going to go down and see in Orlando anyways. So I was seeing, like, all these people that I haven't seen in so long and, like, checking off so many boxes in one trip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's a beautiful trip.
Dude, it was so crazy. Like, seeing, you know, then I saw, like, Veronica and Juliana's mom and dad. Then finding out that, Veronica and, Nicole both went to, college together. They weren't, like, they didn't know of each other because, Nicole is a little bit older than us, but they were like, oh, yeah, like, we, you know, we all go to, like, the games. They were both going to the scrimmage game. Their family's going to the scrimmage game on that Saturday that I left.
Right.
On the way up, I was able to go see another family that I haven't seen in so long.
Oh,
you know, it was one of those things where, like, I really needed this trip.
Yeah.
I really needed a vacation. And, like, the universe was like, all right, and I'm going to make sure you see, like, all the family you want to see, cousins you haven't seen in forever, you want to see brothers and sisters, like, you know, and whoever you want to see, I got you. And I was, funnily enough, one of my aunts just moved to Florida. My dad told me on the way down, but I couldn't see her because she was like, she was feeling under the weather.
But you can't have everything.
Can't have everything. I was real close though. You can tell me otherwise. I was real, real close. You know, and it's one of those things, like, you know, I don't know how, but I'm forever grateful that these circumstances just happened to work out to where, you know, actually, funnily enough, not to say anything about Veronica, but so she gave me back the money from the trip, and she thought it went through, but the thing got declined for some reason. Like, it wasn't like, or it never fully went through successfully.
Okay.
So she was like, "I'll get it back to you when, like, my next, like, thing comes around." And I was like, "All right, bet." It was like maybe a week or two before the trip. So I was like, oh, cool, I'm going down there with a little extra cash in my pocket that I wouldn't have had anyways because I didn't think I had it.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it was one of those things I was like, oh, nice to have money when I go down and see my family because, like, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, I'm going down there, I'm schlepping on your couch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was just a cool, like, everything worked out.
That's awesome.
For sure. But speaking of time, we're going to take a brief intermission because we're about to go help this man pack some stuff up so he can get to his new apartment.
New apartment.
And then we will reconvene a little bit.
Well, let me just say, it's in terms of timing and presence of mind, I want you all to remember, no matter where you go, there you are.
Oh. Take it easy, guys. We'll be back in a few.
And welcome back. So that was a quick one. We're gonna try to get another one in hopefully in a few weeks when I see him for Memorial Day. Thank you guys for the wait and the patience. Thank you for the love and support. Be sure to follow me for more upcoming projects. I hope you know already that as of now we are midway through completing issue 3 of You Can't Be Serious. It releases every other Sunday on NBR Mag. It's with my brother from another mother, Kimbo, and my other brother from another mother, Tommy. It's a fun adventure and ride. It's you just can't be serious that the things that we are going through, we're going through. I'll let you guys check it out. And be sure to leave me a like, comment, review, the whole shebang. I appreciate the love and support, as always. Follow your path. Peace. I want to take a moment and thank InBeyond Studios for sponsoring this video. Guys, with my code TALS BY LAW, you guys can save 10% off of anything in our merch store. You guys can get comics. You guys can get prints. You guys can save money on the InBeyond Con tickets. You guys can save, if you want to be an exhibitor, artist, you guys can save that way 10% by using my promo code. Check them out. You won't regret it. Love you guys. Thank you for the support. Peace.